think I'm gonna preach to the choir today.
Well, there's lots of spirits out there. You just can't see them. Well, at least we're not preaching to or singing to the Wood family.
To the Wood family.
The Wood family.
Yeah.
That's like somebody said one time. Said, "Well, preacher, be there in spirit." Preacher said, "I don't want any ghosts in the church."
That's right.
Y'all keep me awake.
Okay? All right. 175 in the red book. Standing on the promises. 175. First, second, last.
Down sin's dark pathway, no
26 choir. Joy coming in the morning. Number 26.
208 for our fellowship song, Are You Washed in the Blood? Sing the first, second, fellowship, and come back on the last. 208. As we stand.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
voice tender above, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are you garments spotless or in white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Before this choir comes down, let's greet one another in the Lord this morning. Some more, we need it. I said we had a little bit when I was coming in this morning. It rained a little bit this morning, but okay. Is that what you said? You get?
We got a whole lot yesterday.
Did you? I don't know. We didn't get any that I know of. Did I slip through it all? All right. Well, let's pray for folks that are not here, Miss. Betty is, I think they said, an abscess possibly, not feeling well. Let's pray for her. Miss Irma's not here. Brother Junior's having some problem with his back, not getting around too well. Who else? Anybody else? Yeah, I said that already. Yeah, we're hearing some good things about Greg and He's still in Moses' cone. They were talking about moving him to Charlotte, but they kept him there and some improvements making there, so let's keep praying for them. So lots of needs, but those are positive things. Let's pray for them. Okay, well, let's pray as Miss Teresa is going to sing for us today.
As the blind man was sitting there by the way, he cried to Jesus for mercy. As he followed Jesus, I'm sure he cried, Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in since Jesus passed by. And just like that blind man, I wandered along in the darkness of sin. I was always alone, but one day and he made things right. And oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by. And oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by. And oh, change in my life since Jesus passed by.
Amen. Maybe that's what's missing today. There's not been seemingly many changes in people's lives. But when you meet Jesus, it's going to be a change, isn't it? All right, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. As you are turning there, for those of you that were able to come yesterday, we appreciate so much your coming and supporting Bethany and Jason in the wedding ceremony. And many of you came. We are appreciative of that. And those that did not or were not able to come, I know you were praying for everybody. We're grateful for that. Prayer changes things. And so we had a good day. Now, with that thought in mind, I just kind of felt like I'm going to go into the area of, in Matthew chapter 22, if you've got a Scofield Bible, Dr. Scofield calls this the parable of the marriage feast. So I thought it just kind of a good thing to do while the idea of marriage and wedding is on the mind. What does the Bible say about weddings? Now, when you study the Bible, and especially when you study culture, they did weddings so much differently back in Bible times than they do today.
One thing was that they had a wedding week. People would come together for an entire week and have different festivities that had to do with the wedding. They had different kind of feasts. They had banquets. They had times together where they just spent, guests came in and spent an entire week and just enjoyed the preparing of the union between the husband and the wife. In Jewish times, you read in the Bible, you are familiar with and have probably read a book called the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon was required reading for anybody that was going to get married. They could not get married until they read the Song of Solomon, because the Song of Solomon is a book that deals with intimacy between a man and a wife. And so that was required reading. Okay? Lots of different things that went on that the culture is so different than what we have today. Now let's look at verse number 1, chapter 22, Matthew. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And so those servants went out in the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in thither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Father, speak to our hearts for the next few minutes. Guide us, lead us, direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you're thinking probably as you read the passage, that's the most unusual wedding or marriage system I've ever seen in my life. And that's true. But we've got to realize also what this is a symbol of. This is a symbol of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, you know why Jesus died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross so that we could have marriage. So we could get married to God. Okay? And so sometimes we don't think about that. All right? There is a relationship. The Bible talks about the fact. If you want to hold your place in the 22nd of Matthew, and then turn with me for a moment over to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. And in Ephesians chapter number 5, it talks about the relationship between a husband and a wife. All right? And as it does, it talks about some things that we may not be familiar with in our culture. But he talks about, in verses 18, 19, and 20, he talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian ought to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Every home, every young man and young woman that get married ought to seek, number one, to be saved. Number two, once saved, the filling and controlling of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make it otherwise without it. When you have two people, you have what? You have two different ideas. You have two different ideologies. Isn't it interesting how people, when they get married, are so different? And you wonder why they got married. For instance, the most predominant thing I've always noticed about people getting married is temperature. Okay? It's like some of you have attested to me. It's true in my home. I am hot-blooded, and I like it cold. I want to hang meat on the wall. All right? And when we were without air for almost a week, I about croaked. I mean, it was tough. Okay? But now my wife, God bless her, she's as cold-blooded as a reptile. And she likes it hot. Boy, she likes it hot. And she likes it cool, but I mean, it's not like my cool. My cool is like in the freezer. And so, you know, when it starts, but anyway, you know, and that's the way I heard a lot of people like you have talked about it. And people are different. And you wonder, why do people who are different even get married? You ever thought about that? I heard somebody say this one time, and buddy, it's a lot of truth in it. Opposites attract, but they cannot necessarily live together. And if you think about people that get divorced, why do they get divorced? Some people get divorced for silly reasons. Some is valid, some are valid, we understand that. Adultery, that kind of thing. But if the reason you're getting a divorce is because one person squeezes the toothpaste tube from the bottom and somebody else grabs it and squishes it from the middle, that's not exactly grounds for divorce. If you like to take the toilet paper and put it on and roll it from the top down, that's one thing. Or you like to take it underneath and pull it down, okay? That's not grounds for divorce. Okay? If you like ketchup, or let's say this, you like on your sandwich, one person likes mayonnaise, another person likes Miracle Whip, that is not grounds for divorce. Okay? If somebody likes wheat bread and somebody likes white bread, that's not grounds for divorce. Okay? But the thing is, can people who have differences survive together? You have one person that's a clutter bug. They like everything. They don't care. Everything just lay there. And the other person is an organizational clean freak. Okay? I guarantee you there's going to be a conflict right there. There's going to be a clash. All right? Is that grounds for divorce? Well, no, it isn't. Okay? But we do understand that there are what? There are differences of opinion. There's always going to be that way. Opposites attract. Can they live together? Well, that's why we need, according to Ephesians chapter 5, we need the filling and controlling of the Holy Spirit, because we all are so different. If we're not careful, boy, you know, we'll say the right thing at the wrong time. Or maybe it's in some case it might be the wrong thing at the right time. But sometimes we will lose our temper, we'll say something, whatever. Okay? And it's a problem, and it creates a problem. Okay, all right. So we need to start off our day and seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. And God, put a guard on my lips so I don't say the wrong thing today. Okay, and so, you know, and husbands and wives are going. I hear people and they'll talk about husbands and wives and they'll say, well, husbands and wives, you know, act like husbands and wives should never have arguments. Well, how are you not going to have an argument? How are you not going to have a disagreement? You're a human being. We have problems. We feel bad. Unfortunately, when we feel bad, sometimes we take it out on other people. That's part of life. You got to deal with it. Now, what do you do? If you do somebody wrong, then guess what? There's a word for that. It's called apologize. Okay, just that. Bible says that. Bible talks about the fact to neither give place to the devil and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Have short accounts. If you and your mate have a problem in 24 hours, it's best to get it solved and have a resolution to it, because if you don't, hard feelings, bitterness will get rooted in your heart and it's bad. Okay? So the controlling of the Holy Spirit. And some of these things I've talked about recently, and I'm not going to belabor it, but there's something I want you to see for me. But in verse 21 talks about submitting one another in the fear of God, very important in a marriage. 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, to the Lord. Husbands, love that part. But then the husband gets in trouble, and the ladies love it, because the Bible talks about the fact that we are to love, we're to love our wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so that's the tough one for us. But notice some things here in verse 26, if you will, that he, talking of Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it. Cleanse what? The church. With the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, verse 27, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. One thing that was, well, there's many things in the situation of Bethany. I was sharing with some of you folks yesterday. Bethany had things that she wanted to see for her wedding. Every girl, I guess, has a dream wedding. That's what I'm told. I was just there. I said, I do, and they said, you're done. And that's as far as I got. But by and large, ladies have a dream wedding. Now, some people have stupid dreams. that's like people who will, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for a wedding. I don't understand that. And then what I don't understand is when they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for that wedding, then they get divorced. I told somebody yesterday, if Bethany, after everything this wedding, if Bethany and Jason ever get a divorce, I'm going to kill both of them. Because those weddings, those of you who've been involved, those things are just there. That's something else. That's a lot of work. I was hoping that at least that wedding went 25 minutes. Julia said it took about 20 minutes. I'm thinking, that sure is quick. For everything that everybody's been through and the money that's been spent and all like that, and it's like, but it's worth it all, because I remember yesterday when I saw Bethany in her wedding gown. And I do believe this. I don't believe that a woman is any more beautiful than she is on her wedding day. And my wife was, I remember when we were married, she came down there, and I saw her. I'm old-fashioned. I don't like to use the word bad luck, but traditionally, the husband's not supposed to see the wife before the marching down. I believe I'm just old, but now that's all changed now. People are not that way anymore. But I did see Bethany because they took pictures before the actual wedding, and Jason and Bethany saw each other, which I was like, no, you shouldn't do that, but I'm daddy, I don't know anything. And so anyway, but I remember when I saw her yesterday, it was just like, it just overwhelmed me, because she was so beautiful. And she was wearing that white dress. Here's the thing that's interesting. I don't know, some of you young people don't know this, man. It was a day that people that were pure and virgins, those were the ones that wore white dresses. And if you were not a virgin, you didn't wear a white dress at your wedding. You might not know that. Okay? But now that's changed. Because now it's just the white dress is just the symbol of the wedding. But used to be that was exactly the way. Just like funerals. In funerals, people always would wear black. People dress anyway for funerals now. But that was both of those were showings of respect. White was the predominant color at a wedding, and then black was a predominant color of a funeral. That's all changed now. But when I saw her and she came in the dress and all, it was gorgeous. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 22, that he might present it, talking about the church, to himself, the bride of Christ. Did you know that's what the church is referred to in the Bible, as the bride of Christ? And one day, there's going to be a time We are going to meet the Lord one day, and we will be presented to Him, sort of like Bethany was presented to Jason yesterday when I walked her down the aisle. I would have been very concerned if Jason had a frown. Matter of fact, I might have decked him in Christian love. Okay? Because when you see your bride, you ought to smile. You ought to. And he did. He's grinning from ear to ear. Okay? Why? Because I was presenting her to him. And that the purity of her dress, what it represented. See, when we read the Bible, clothes are surprisingly important in the Bible. Do you remember what we read a few minutes ago in Matthew 22? That the Lord of the house came and said, "Sir, where is your friend? Where is your wedding garment?" Because those that came by invitation had to wear a special robe. And if the only way you got that special robe was you had to be invited to the wedding. But if you were a gatecrasher, If you got in some way, or as they say the word, wedding crasher, if you got in some way, but if you didn't have that garment, then they were cast out. Okay? Here it says that when a person gets saved, the Bible talks about the fact that we are our garments. The Bible talks about garments. We have garments that are called garments of righteousness. Okay. When we get saved, God gives us the wedding garment that He gave to those people in the 22nd of Matthew. And He put that on us, and the garment of righteousness that's given to us is made pure and white and clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Because to us, blood, you know what I have a problem with? And maybe you men are this way, I don't know. I have to be careful sometimes when I shave and I wear a white shirt, white collar, and I'm going to church, because if you cut yourself, guess what happens to that collar? It's going to get blooded up. I know Brother Juice has these problems with all the ties and white shirts that he wears. All right? But, you know, I've had that problem. And then it's hard to get blood out of clothes. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away and makes us as white and pure as the driven snow. Come, what does Isaiah 1:18 say? It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet like blood, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So what a marvelous thing that is. And so the Bible says that when we are brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a bride is brought to her groom or to her husband-to-be. All right? Now, when you got saved, God gave you a garment of righteousness. The blood of Christ washed you from your sins. The Bible says that Isaiah said this also later on in his book. He said that my righteousness is as filthy rags. The things that I think are righteous that makes me good, the Bible says that all of that is as filthy rags. Just like you would take a rag and maybe take it and put it in mud and maybe muddy water and slosh it through there, and maybe take it down to the sewer, put it in the sewer, and oh, you say, "Well, that's horrible, that's nasty." Well, the Bible says that my righteousness is like that. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ is like the pure, beautiful white linen that has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So God can take that filthy rag and transform it, wash it in the blood, and it comes out beautiful and white. And the Bible says that when that time happens, it says that He, Christ, might present it, the church, us, might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now again, let's go back to the wedding dress. Bethany had been in rough shape if she had not had that dress altered, if she had not had that dress pressed. Can you imagine coming down the aisle and her dress would have been full of stains and wrinkled, and people would look and go, "Ooh," and rightfully so. But she had to take great pains to make sure that that dress was free from wrinkles as possible. Go to an alteration place and make sure that everything fits correctly. Okay? When we become Christians and the blood of Christ washes us, the Lord alters us, doesn't He? He changes our hearts. He washes us in His precious blood. And everything is made right when He does it. And the Lord is going to present. Now, in the Bible, it talks about a word. We don't use this word because we don't do this. But there's something in the Bible called an espousal. Let me talk about what an espousal is. Do you remember in the Old New Testament when Mary became pregnant with Jesus? The Bible says that she was espoused to her husband Joseph. Now wait a minute, they hadn't been married yet. But the Bible said that he was her husband, but they weren't married.
They had not had any sexual relations whatsoever. And so according to the Old Testament law, you know what was supposed to happen to her? She was supposed to be taken to the middle of the street and stoned to death. That was under the Old Testament law. And here's Joseph finding out that his wife, with whom he's had no physical relations, they're not officially married yet. Now here's where I'm getting at. An espousal is like a marriage contract. And at the time they are at whatever time it may be, according to an espousal contract, they are supposed to be committed to each other, and they are as much husband and wife in everything except the wedding bed. So when it comes time to that marriage feast or that marriage week, they have been contracted together. Okay? And they're just as done as if they'd already, you know, had the ceremony. Well, here he was, and everybody's talking. And they're accusing her of, in our terminology, being a slut. Because they believe, you go back and study history, many people believe that Jesus was the result of the relationship, a physical relationship between Mary and a Roman soldier. That's one of many arguments that unbelievers have. Okay? Well, we know that's wrong. We know that's wrong. But what did he do? He could have taken her and had her stoned because that was within the law. But the angel of the Lord came and said, "No, Joseph, do not worry. Do not make her a public example." That's what the public example meant. Stone her to death. Do not make her a public example. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so what did he do? He took her away so that she would not have to face ridicule and possible death. But the angel said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, do you know what was conceived in you? Salvation. Do you know who brought you to a place of salvation? The Holy Ghost. That's how you got saved. And the Holy Spirit birthed the new birth in your heart. And when that happened, guess what? The next step is what? The next step is when you get married. Now you say, what do you mean? Right now, you and I are in espousal territory. I got a question for you. Have you seen Jesus? No. Not physically. Spiritually, yes. Not physically. All right? Now, one day, what's going to happen? The trumpet of the Lord will sound. Rapture of the church. We hear in Revelation 4:1, come up hither. We're going to be taken up out of here. We're going to see Jesus. The espousal that we're in right now will change into reality, and we will meet him, if you will, at the altar, so to speak. Just like I brought Bethany down the aisle yesterday, I escorted her and brought her into the presence of her groom. We are going to be brought one day at the rapture into the presence of our groom. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us together will make up what's called the bride of Christ. And we will be brought before the bride of, we as the bride of Christ will be brought before Jesus. Just like as Bethany was wearing that beautiful white gown, we will be brought into the presence of the Lord, washed in the blood. We will appear before him without wrinkle, without spot, without blemish. We will be brought to him perfectly, not because we're perfect, but because we will be made that way when we're brought into the presence of the Lord. What an awesome thing that's going to be.
Go with me one more place, if you will. Turn over to Revelation just for a minute. We'll close with this. You ever heard of this? The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, one of the responsibilities of the bride's family, as many of you know, is to provide the dinner. And I just love the way people want to rip you off. And I guess you got to give them an A for effort, I suppose. But I know when Darlene and Bethany first went to go talk to the caterer, or whatever you want to call him, there at the country club. Revelation 19 is where I need you to go. Revelation 19. Buddy, I'm telling you, this lady wanted to do a buffet. Endless food. And she gave me a price, buddy. I'm not going to tell you what the price is, but it was way up there. And you know, it was just, I'm so glad I believe in eternal life. Because when they told me the price, I believe I could have lost my salvation. And I called the lady on the phone. I said, "Now, ma'am," I said, "you have actually quoted this unbelievable price." For some people, it wouldn't have been unbelievable, but it was for me. And I said, "Now, ma'am," I said, "it's just like this." I said, "Now, if you want me to give you the kind of money you want, you're asking for, I said, I might as well ask my daughter and future son-in-law to elope and give them that money and let them start their lives than rather put all that money into somebody's stomach." And you know the result after that. I'm trying to be delicate here, but isn't that, you know, that's dumb. I'm not putting all that money out. And so we compromised on something. I told her what the budget was, and I said, "Now you got to make it work." She says, "Well, we might run out of food." I says, "If it is, there's a McDonald's down the road." And there was. Thankfully, there was enough food, but the Lord took care of that. But I'm just saying. Now, if you want to call that the marriage supper, you can call that the marriage supper. But look in Revelation 19, look at verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." That's you and me. We're the wife. Did you notice it said one wife? Bride of Christ. How do you make yourself ready? You get saved. When you get saved, what happens? You're washed in the blood. What does the blood do? It makes your wedding garment clean, white, pure, driven as the snow. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, I do pray that Brother Buddy and Miss Teresa can go to the camp meeting at Brother Sammy's. I believe it's good. I think that sometimes you need to go and get spiritually refreshed. But I can about guarantee you, I think that, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be some shouting going on. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. According to that passage there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will go on. When will this go on? This will go on for 7 years in heaven while there's 7 years of tribulation on this earth. But there's going to be such rejoicing in heaven, it's going to make camp meetings look like a depression party. Why? Because, look, it says, "Be glad and rejoice, give honor to the Lord Jesus, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." What are we going to rejoice in when we get to heaven? Nothing. Because I cannot rejoice in me. I cannot rejoice in what I've done. I've done nothing. The only thing I can rejoice in is my Savior. Because he's the one that made heaven possible, isn't he? "And to her," verse 8, "was granted that she should be arrayed," look, "fine linen, clean." And what? Here it is. "For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now, I want you to understand something. Notice the word righteousness. It is singular. It does not say righteousnesses. Because if it said righteousnesses, guess what that means? That means all of us did something. But it is the righteousness given to us by Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and that beautiful white linen garment that we will all wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb is all because of Jesus. Verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You ever heard the saying, "Love is blind"? It is. Now, I'm prejudiced. I think Bethany and Jason are a good-looking couple.
I told somebody, I said, when it comes to daughters, I said, there is no man on earth good enough for a daughter.
I won't say anything on that, Brother Bill.
But you know what? Love is blind. Because people, strange people get married, don't they? Huh? I mean strange people. I mean they look strange. They act strange. They do strange things. But they get married, don't they? Because love, somebody said, love is blind. And when we get to heaven, we'll never be able to stand up and say, look how good looking I am. And when we get to heaven, we're never going to be able to say, look what great, fantastic talents I have. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to be able to say, look at my organizational skills and ability in business. The Bible says that when all these things were said and done, that they fell to worship. Because they're worshiping the groom. What a great thing. We see back over in Matthew 22, we saw the fact that the man said, friend, where's your wedding garment? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the beauty of that garment, and we talked about the espousal, and we talked about the preparation and the presentation, and then Revelation chapter 19, there is a marriage supper that's going to take place, and you and I, if you're saved, you and I and every born-again believer that's ever lived upon this earth and shall live are going to go and be with Jesus. I've seen, and you have too, paintings of what people thought the marriage supper was. And I don't know if we're talking about a literal table. I don't know what the marriage supper is going to consist of. But you know what's going to make the marriage supper wonderful? Somebody says, well, when we get to heaven, we don't have to eat. And we're not going to need to eat, but I've got an idea that when we get to heaven, if we want to eat, I think we can. I think it may be some kind of fruit maybe that we're going to eat. We're not going to, I guess a sad thing, if I can say this in a humorous way, a sad thing is when we get to heaven, we're not going to have T-bone steaks. Because the fact that there's no carnivores in heaven, there's no animals that you're going to eat in heaven. So, I mean, I'll eat my red meat down here in the meantime and enjoy it till we get to heaven. But up there, we can eat if we want to, I think, because it talks about the river of life, and there are going to be trees that have fruit on the trees that surround the river of life. So there's going to be some type of fruit in heaven. And you're not going to have to eat because you have a glorified body. And all of that is there. But when we get to heaven, and we're not going to be able to look around and brag on everything or anybody or anything, we're there because of Jesus and Jesus alone. You can call it a honeymoon. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's going to be wonderful when we get there. And we're almost there. Well, I hope and pray that every one of us have made that right decision and we're washed in the blood. And the righteousness of Christ is now placed upon us. And we've studied the word imputation in the book of Galatians on Sunday evenings. And the righteousness of Christ has been imputed or placed upon us. And one day we're going to meet Him. One day we're going to be presented to the groom. And even though when we were waiting yesterday to come in, we were waiting for Brother Julius to give a signal with music. And that's what those ladies back behind that door said. They said, wait for the music. We're waiting for the music. And it's going to be a trumpet sound. And we're going up. And we're going to meet the bridegroom. And we are the bride. I hope we're all ready to meet Him. Let's pray. Father, help us to be ready. We are closer than we've ever been before. And every minute brings us closer to the coming of Jesus. And I look at things in prophecy in the world, and I cannot help but think it's not long, can't be long, till we see Jesus. I pray, God, You'll help us. And I pray that you'll strengthen us, and I pray that you'll meet our needs. And I pray if there's anybody here that does not know the Lord Jesus and has never been saved, has not been washed in the blood, that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to them, and they are wearing that fresh, white, clean, fine linen garment. I pray that those things might be settled. We thank you and we love you and we praise you and rejoice, because we have nothing to rejoice in save the work of Christ. Thank you. One day we're going to stand before you, just like we saw Bethany brought before her groom yesterday. We're going to be presented faultless, blameless, and spotless to you. Thank you that you are making this possible. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hymn number what, my brother?
Number 222, There Is a Fountain.
What an appropriate song. It is the blood. It is the blood. Seated. We'll get ready for the Lord's tithes and offerings. Ask the gentleman to come. Sister, do me a favor, and would you look and a song on the blood. Would you sing that as we close the service today? A song on the blood, whatever the Lord or gospel song you may have on the blood that you could sing. So we'll just give you a few minutes if you'd look that up. I just want to finish on the blood today. While we're getting ready for the offering, some announcements. We've got new copies of The Sword of the Lord, if you want to get one of those. Bible school, we've got flyers, as Miss Donna did on that, so I want you to get some of those and maybe start mailing some out. And that'll be good. This evening, our service, 5:30, Book of Galatians. Remember that. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be leaving and going down to Cape Fear, North Carolina, to a vacation Bible school. It's a 3-day Bible school. I already talked to Brother Bill and Brother Buddy, and so we'll be out of the pulpit Wednesday night. Brother Junior Haley is going to be here preaching. If you don't remember Brother Junior, Brother Junior comes with some of the other preachers, Brother David Toler, Brother Clint Connor. He's a big fella. And so Brother Junior is going to be preaching Wednesday night, so you pray for him and be here and support him. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, I had made a request last week, and you graciously consented to do so, about having an afternoon luncheon and service, and because of people that from Florida were coming in and, be here for church. And as the week progressed, I found out that many of them felt like they needed to leave early. And we had one group that canceled completely and could not come. So I notified asked Miss Donna and Brother Bill to cancel that, so we're not doing that this afternoon. We will have regular service at 5 o'clock, so keep that in mind. But we sure appreciate you being willing to have done that, and so God bless you for that, okay? All right, any other announcements we have than those things? All right, Brother Julius, pray for us.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. for the fellowship and the worship we had today, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for your blessings as we gather our separate ways and bring us back this evening. Lord, thank you for bless the offering that you're going to make him.
Amen.
Once I wandered in sin's black night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry, she is a sinner, and now she must die. Then I heard a voice saying, Father, I'll go, I'll pay her sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bury in my body the marks of the cross to save that child who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood
Amen.
That saves from sin. It's still the blood
Amen.
That cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Amen. Amen.
There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over
Amen.
And my last song is sung, I'll go home through the blood of my Father's precious Son.
Amen.
And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by the blood.
Amen.
Have a good day. We'll see you this afternoon.